race in 2 hours, 3 minutes and 23 seconds, knocking 15 seconds off the previous record. BBC News.
Now, on Radio 4, our new classic serial. Paul Reddy, Adrian Scarborough and Tim Pigott-Smith star in Evelyn Waugh's satirical World War II masterpiece, Sword of Honour. Episode 1, Men at Arms.
As a precaution, orders were issued this afternoon calling up officers and men of the anti-aircraft units of the Territorial Army and officers and men of coast defence units of the Territorial Army. This, of course, is not a measure of general mobilisation.
The place had been in Guy's family for 50 years and was known to the people of Santa Dulcina as the Castello Crouchback.
The driver is waiting, Signor Crouchback.
Hmm? Oh, good. Thank you.
8 years Guy had been away from England. 8 years away from Virginia. 8 years of shame and loneliness were ended. He was packed and dressed for a long journey, already on his way back to his own country to serve his king.
Very still today.
Soon the Sirocco will come.
Yes, I suppose.
Is everything all right, Signor Crouchback?
In a strange way, at last I think it is.
In Italy, Guy had lived too close to fascism to share the opposing enthusiasms of his countrymen. He disliked the men who were edging themselves into power around him.
Tell the driver to stop at the church on the way.
But the train, Signor.
This time.
The Nazis he knew to be mad and bad. And when Prague fell, war was inevitable.
Padre, perdonami perché ho peccato. La mia ultima confessione è stata 3 settimane fa.
Tutti a bordo!
Guy had expected his country to enter the fray in a panic, for the wrong reasons, or for no reason at all, with the wrong allies, in pitiful weakness. Now, splendidly, everything had become clear. The enemy at last was in plain view, huge and hateful, all disguise cast off. It was the modern age in arms, and whatever the outcome, there was a place for him in that battle. And so, at the end of August 1939, Guy presented himself in London to his brother-in-law, Arthur Box Bender, MP.
How long have you been back?
I've come straight from Victoria.
Are you any good at tuning these things?
Not terribly.
I want to see if there are any developments. Funny how one keeps twiddling the dial these days. I never had much use for it before. How long are you here for?
Indefinitely.
Oh, I didn't know.
Well, I wrote to Angela.
Well, I'm afraid she's out of town.
It was once hoped that Guy's elder sister might marry into one of the little band of landed recusant families.
Oh.
But Angela confounded the matchmakers by preferring the Protestant and plebeian Arthur Box Bender.
Oh, to hell with this damn thing.
When will Angela be back?
Huh? Oh, she won't. Don't look so worried. She's not divorcing me. Tony's joined up and we've shipped the gals over to stay with friends in Connecticut.
Right.
Angela's sorting things out in the country. You know, I've had the place accepted as a repository for national art treasures.
Oh.
As we speak, she's probably dusting a Giotto. As you can see, I'm in the process of shutting up shop here.
Where are you staying during the week?
I found a luxury flat going cheap in Arlington Street. I'm going Thurs with a couple of colleagues in the Commons.
Arthur, there's something I wanted to ask you.
Well, why don't we go to Bellamy's? You can ask me over a drink.
Of the three Crouchback brothers, Guy was the last survivor. All had been members of Bellamy's. Gervaise was listed on the 1418 Roll of Honour, while poor crazy Ivo used to sit in the bay window, scaring passers-by with his fixed stare. Arthur Box Bender remembered Ivo's look when he still tottered this side of lunacy. Not a wild look, more smug and purposeful. Very much like the look in Guy's eyes now.
You're not serious.
Never more so.
At your age, Guy. Cheers.
Cheers.
I mean, what are you? 36?
Not quite.
Can you seriously imagine yourself sprinting about at the head of a platoon?
Yes, that's exactly what I did imagine.
Leave it to young men like Tony. This isn't 1914 with retired colonels dyeing their hair and entering the ranks.
That wasn't quite what I had in mind, Arthur, and they're going to need men.
Yes, but at the moment we haven't got the accommodation or equipment for a big increase. Personally, I don't see it as a soldier's war at all.
That's rather why I came back to England.
Nothing to do with Virginia?
Nothing at all. What do you mean, not a soldier's war?
Well, for starters, where are we going to fight? No one in his right mind would try and break the Maginot or Siegfried lines. We'll just sit tight till the Germans begin to feel the pinch. As soon as they realise that Mr. Hitler's bluff is being called, we shan't hear much more of him.
You sound like my black shirt taxi driver in Santa Dulcina.
Always go to a cabbie when you want a sane, independent opinion. The one I had today said, when we're at war, it'll be time to start talking about war. But we aren't at war. Very sound.
I notice you're taking every domestic precaution.
A man has responsibilities to his family. Will you excuse me a moment? I need to make a call. You'll dine with me, yes? How's your soul?
Was that a theological question?
You know me better than that, Guy.
It's very good, thanks.
What about the BBC?
What about it?
Well, they're very keen to collect foreign language speakers for monitoring, propaganda, that sort of rot. Mm. Might suit you if you really want to make yourself useful. Not very exciting, but someone has to do it, and your Italian will come in very handy.
Not quite what I had in mind.
If I can catch the waiter's eye, I'll order another bottle of this. The thing is, you've left it rather late. Everyone's pretty well fixed.
So I'm learning.
No doubt things will start popping when the balloon goes up. Mm. If I were you, I'd wait till then. Where are you staying?
I've moved into Brown's for the time being.
Right. Where's that damned wine waiter?
For the following fortnight, Guy walked daily from his hotel to Bellamy's as a man might go to his office. Seated in a corner of the morning room, he wrote letters of appeal to anyone who might be able to help.
Dear General Cutter, please forgive me for troubling you at this busy time. I hope you remember, as I do, the happy day when the Bradshaws brought you to my house at Santa Dulcina. Dear Colonel Glover, I'm writing to you because I know you served with my brother, Gervais, and were a friend. Dear Sam, though we've not met since Downside, I have followed your career with distant admiration and vicarious pride. Dear Molly, I'm sure I ought not to know, but I do know that Alex is someone very important and secret at the Admiralty. Do you think you could be an angel?
Thing is, Mr. Crouchback, we don't want cannon fodder this time.
I understand that.
We learnt our lesson in 1914 when we threw away the pick of the nation.
But I'm not the pick of the nation. I've no dependents. I've no special skills.
You're not exactly selling yourself. Did you say you were 36?
Not quite. But you should take men like me now and give the young men time to get sons.
I'm afraid that's not the official view. Best I can do is put you on the list and you'll be notified as soon as anything comes up.
England declared war. Sirens were tested, but no bombs fell. There was no rain of fire or poison, just blackout, concomitant broken bones, and street robberies.
Bloody hell!
Watch where you're going!
In case you hadn't noticed, there's a blackout!
Guy?
Ian? I startled you.
I thought you were going to rob me.
Sorry, should have thought. Especially after a chap got sandbagged for his poker winnings in Hay Hill last night. How the devil are you, Guy? It's been too long.
Kenya.
Is it? I suppose it must be.
Lord Ian Kilbannock and his wife, Kirsty, were old acquaintances of Guy and his former wife, Virginia. Ian, a journalist, had lately written a racing column. Now he was in RAF uniform.
How do you manage this?
It's rather shaming, really. There's an air marshal whose wife plays bridge with Kirsty, and he's mad keen to get into Bellamy, so I've just put him up. He's the most
awful shit.
Will he get in?
No, I've seen to that. 3 black balls guaranteed already. But he can't get me out of the Air Force.
What's your job?
And that's rather shaming, too. I'm what's called a conducting officer. I take American hacks around fighter stations.
At least you're doing your bit.
Get into uniform, Guy. Then you can start moving yourself around. It's a very exclusive war at present. But once you're in, there are opportunities to be had.
Well, I'm trying and failing to get anything.
I've got my eye on India or Egypt. Somewhere where there's no blackout. This is all a bit dangerous for me. Fellow in the flats where I live got coshed on the head, right on his own doorstep.
Good grief.
I don't want a medal or anything. I want to be known as one of those soft-faced men who did well out of the war. That'll do me.
Kemble! Change air for Siren Fester!
Uncle Guy!
Tony, I wasn't expecting to see you.
I hope I'm a pleasant surprise.
Very.
I thought I'd save you from the local train. They've given us embarkation leave.
Your father said you'd signed up. Shouldn't you be in uniform?
It makes me feel quite human getting out of it for a few hours.
I'll want to stay in mine once I get it.
I can't imagine you as one of the licentious soldiery. Come on.
Must we go this fast, Tony?
Why did you leave Italy? I'd have thought Santa Dolcina was just the place to spend the war. How long have you been there?
8 years.
8 years? I bet they'll miss you.
Italians cry easily. Oh, can we slow down a bit?
Guy's mother was dead, and his father over 70. Of 4 children, Angela was the eldest, Guy the baby.
As you can see, we're living in the most frightful squalor.
Arthur told me you're housing national art treasures.
Oh, don't. It's such a disappointment. I imagined us having the Wallace collection. I thought we'd be spending the war luxuriating in Sèvres and Boucher. Instead, we've got Hittite tablets from the British Museum, and we mayn't even peep at them. Oh, not that we'd want to. You're going to be hideously uncomfortable, darling. I've made a bed up for you in the library.
I'll be fine.
Oh, put the bags over there, Tony.
Righto.
Do be careful. Those are precious artefacts.
Sorry.
All the top floors shut so that if we're bombed, we shan't panic and jump out of the windows. Arthur's idea. He's really been too resourceful. Ought we to have asked people in for your last night, Tony?
No, Mum. It's much nicer being alone.
I so hoped you'd say that. I do think they might have given you 2 nights.
Have to be in at Ravalli on Monday.
And you'd sooner be at home on your last night?
Wherever you are, Mum.
Oh, isn't he a dear boy, Guy?
Very.
I must go and see you for dinner.
I've never seen your mother so domesticated.
Most of the servants have gone, apart from a gardener's wife and a girl from the village. You know, there's not the smallest reason for all this.
All this?
The Mrs. Miniver routine.
Oh.
Mum and Dad seem to enjoy turning everything topsy-turvy. I suppose it comes of having been so very correct before.
South African sherry. See how we're roughing it, Guy? In a year or 2, everyone will have to live like this. We're just starting early. It's great fun.
You're only here at weekends, and I hear you're very snug in Arlington Street.
There wouldn't have been room for your mother in the flat. No wives. That was part of the concordat I made with the other chaps. Now, will you try this stuff, Guy?
Thanks.
See what you think of it. Everyone will be drinking it soon. Cheers.
Here's to you, Tony.
Here's to us all.
This zeal to lead the fashion is something new, Arthur.
You don't like it?
Not very much.
Well, the sooner we get used to it, the better. There's no more coming from Spain.
All sherry tastes the same to me.
Dinner's ready. We're eating in Arthur's business room.
Come on. More wine, Guy.
Thanks. How are you finding your outfit, Tony?
It's a good regiment, providing you keep out of chemical warfare. That's the end. Thank goodness I had a classical education.
I said he'd appreciate it one day, didn't I, Angela?
I was down for a chem warfare course. Then a frightfully wet fellow turned up who'd just done a science scholarship. So I stood the adjutant a couple of drinks and got him sent instead.
I don't know anything about chemical warfare.
It's where all the wettest fellows end up.
Tony.
It's true, Mum.
You know, there's plenty of work for civilians, Guy.
I'm holding out, though someone told me this is a very exclusive war.
You don't know when you're well off.
Perhaps we don't want to be particularly well off at the moment, Tony.
Well, I know exactly what I want. an MC and a nice, neat wound. Then I can spend the rest of the war being cosseted by beautiful nurses.
Please, Tony. I'm trying to keep a stiff upper lip, only please, darling, don't talk like that about being wounded.
Yes, right, well, if everyone's finished, take Uncle Guy into the garden while your mother and I clear the table.
Cigarette?
No, thanks.
Tell me about going mad.
Tell you what?
Are lots of Mum's family cuckoo?
No.
There was Uncle Ivo, wasn't there?
He suffered from an excess of melancholy.
Not hereditary?
No. Why? Do you feel your reason tottering?
Not yet.
Good.
It's just... I read about an officer in the last war who seemed quite normal till he got into action. Then went barking mad and his sergeant had to shoot him.
Barking is scarcely the word for your uncle's trouble. He was in every sense a most retiring man.
How about the others?
Look at me. Look at your grandfather. Not to mention your great-uncle Peregrine. He's appallingly sane.
He's spending his time collecting binoculars and sending them to the War Office. Is that sane?
Perfectly.
What are you two talking about in the dark?
Tony thinks he's going mad.
I didn't say that.
Mrs. Grotes, she left the larder unblacked out. What a lovely evening.
If you'll excuse me, I've got to pack a few things.
Mass is at 8. We ought to start at 22. I'm picking up some evacuees in Yuli.
Isn't there something later? I was looking forward to a long lion.
I thought we all might go to communion tomorrow. Do come, Tony.
Make it 25 to then, in that case. I shall have to go to scrape after weeks of wickedness.
He's a charming boy.
And so military. All in a matter of months.
The army does that.
He doesn't mind a bit going to France.
I should think not. What is it, Angela?
Oh, Guy, you're too young to remember, but I grew up in the last war. I was one of the girls who danced with the men who were being killed. I remember the telegram coming about Gervaise. I worked in a hospital, you remember. That's why I can't bear it when Tony talks of a nice, neat wound. There weren't any nice, neat wounds.
He oughtn't to have said that.
And this time there'll be all kinds of ghastly new weapons. You heard how he spoke about chemical warfare. He doesn't know what it'll be like. Under the Kaiser, the Germans were civilized. These brutes will do anything.
You wouldn't want Tony to be one of these wretched boys who go running off to Ireland or America.
No, of course not, but...
Well, then.
I know. I know. Time for bed, I suppose.
Yes.
It's awfully airless in the library. You can open the window when the light's out. Don't want to be accused of attracting zeppelins.
Guy left before luncheon on Sunday so as to leave Angela uninterrupted in her last hours with Tony. With time on his hands and no regiment demanding his return, Guy decided to pay his father a visit. Reduced in both number and fortune, the Crouchbacks had sold Broome, the family estate, and Guy's widowed father moved without complaint into the Marine Hotel at Matchett.
Leave it alone, Felix! Come here, boy!
Angela's worried about Tony.
Naturally. I should like to say goodbye to him.
He's leaving today.
I didn't know he was off so soon. There's something I looked out for him the other day and wanted to give him. Gervaise's medal of Our Lady of Lourdes. He bought it on holiday in France the year the war broke out. He always wore it. He sent it back after he was killed, along with his watch and things. Tony ought to have it.
I don't think there'd be time to get it to him now.
It's not the same sending it in a letter. Harder to explain.
It didn't protect Gervaise much, did it?
Oh, more than you might think. The army is full of temptations for a boy. He told me he got rather drunk once in London with some of his regiment and found himself alone with a girl. She began to fool about and pulled off his tie. And then she saw the medal. All of a sudden, they both sobered up and she began talking about the convent where she'd been at school. So, they parted good friends and no harm done. I call that being protected.
I suppose.
I've worn a medal all my life. Do you?
From time to time. Not at the moment.
Oh, you should, you know. With bombs and things about. If you get taken to hospital, they know you're a Catholic and call for a priest. Would you like Gervaise's medal, if Tony can't?
Very much. I hope to get into the army too, if anyone will have me.
Well, I can't imagine you a soldier. It's all motor cars now, you know, even in the yeomanry. You never liked motor cars, did you? But you don't care for horses either. Trains deluxe are more your line, eh, Guy?
There's nothing deluxe about today's train.
I've no business to chaff you. It's very nice of you to come all this way to see me, my boy. At least it won't be dull. There's a charming woman called Tickeridge staying with her daughter and her husband's down today. He's a major in the Halberdiers. Mrs. Tickeridge, allow me to introduce my son, Guy.
How do you do?
How do you do?
And this is my husband.
Ah, the Major.
How do you do?
I've heard much about you from your wife. Please, join us, gentlemen.
Thank you. We sent the little one right to bed and just having the first of the day. What's your poison?
Oh, that's very kind of you. Gin and it. Gin and
it. While the Major ordered more drinks, Guy failed to persuade the hotel porter to send someone for his bags, which was still at the station.
Yeah, baggage problems, eh? Yeah, they're all in rather a flap around here.
So it seems.
Look here, I've got the invaluable but usually invisible Halberdier Gold standing easy somewhere in the rear echelon. Let him go and fetch your stuff.
Oh, no, please.
Halberdier Gold has not done a hand's turn since we got her, except call me too damned early this morning.
That's very kind,
he needs
but
exercise. Besides, he's a married man and the housemaids won't let him alone. It'll do him good to get away from them for a bit. Ah, drinks. Here's how.
Here's how.
Here's how.
Cheers.
Right. Vi, order another round while I go and winkle out gold.
Will do.
It's awfully kind of your husband.
He can't bear a man standing idle. It's his halberdier training.
In the dining room, the guests had their own tables. But after dinner, Guy's father asked Major Tickeridge to join them for a glass of port.
It's a fine wine, Sam.
Yeah, it's just something the people in London send down to me.
I wish you could come to our mess one day. We've got some very fine port we bring out for guest nights.
Oh, I should like that. My son, in spite of his advancing years, is making frantic efforts to join the army himself.
I call that jolly sporting.
Unfortunately, I'm not having much sport. Since I returned from the continent, I've tried to get myself a commission, but at the ripe old age of 35, I've been buffeted from pillar to post.
That's no good. I take it you're serious about this.
I'm afraid I am. But I've pretty well given up. In fact, I'm thinking of signing on at the Foreign Office.
I say, that is a pretty desperate thing to do. Why don't you join us?
But do you think they'd have me?
I'd be pleased to put in a word if you like.
I would very much.
I'll speak to the Captain Commandant. That's our name for the Colonel. Yes, the Halberdiers never do things in the ordinary army style, none of that horbalicious stuff of starting in the ranks.
Halberdiers are a magnificent regiment, Guy. I've seen them on parade, every bit as good as the foot guards.
I heard the chief saying the other day he could do with a few older chaps among the temporary officers. Let me have a word with him, see what we can do.
I can't thank you enough, Major Tickeridge.
Not at all. Happy to help.
Well, here's how.
After weeks of badgering generals and cabinet ministers and getting nowhere, he had come to a small seaside town, and in an hour, everything was fixed up. At last, Guy Crouchback was a probationary officer in the Royal Corps of Halberdiers.
About time! Quick march!
Guy and a man called Apthorpe were the eldest of 20 now under instructions in barracks.
Swing the right arm level with the belt as the left foot goes forward! And let me not see laughter!
Guy's batch were comprised of young clerks from London offices. Two or three had come straight from public schools, and one, Frank D'Souza, had just come down from Cambridge.
Any officer I see laughing on parade will find himself before the adjutant! Attention! Right, gentlemen. The Royal Corps of Halberdiers was first raised by the Earl of Essex for service in the Low Countries in the reign of Queen Elizabeth I. It then bore the name of the Earl of Essex's Honourable Company of Free Halberdiers. What other sobriquets has it earned? Mr. Crouchback.
The Copper Heels and Applejacks, Sergeant Major.
Why Applejacks? Mr. Apthorpe.
After the Battle of Malplaquet, a detachment of the corps were bivouacked in an orchard when they were surprised by a party of French marauders whom they drove away by pelting them with apples.
Very good, Mr. Apthorpe.
Because of their age, Guy and Apthorpe immediately acquired the nickname Uncle.
Not a bad steak and kidney pulled dish. How are your boots bearing up?
Fine, thanks.
What are they made of?
I don't know. I just told the man I always go to make me a couple of pairs of thick black boots.
He may have given you cow. Great mistake, old man, if you don't mind my saying. Next time, I'd recommend porpoise.
Porpoise?
Every time. It's actually the skin of the great white whale.
Then why do they call it porpoise?
Trade secret, old man.
Boots were of peculiar interest to this man. Burly, mustachioed and tanned from the African sun, Apthorpe alone looked like a soldier.
Did you see the way Trimmer turned out for parade?
As surely as Apthorpe was marked out for early promotion, Trimmer was marked for ignominy.
Oh, man's an absolute shower. Blanco under his fingernails, greatcoat left open. I've never seen anything like it. If you want my advice, I'd give him and his scrounger pal, Sarum Smith, a very wide berth.
You didn't by any chance pass Sarum Smith on to me, did you?
Yes. He was trying to tap me for a loan. I don't believe in borrowing or lending. Seen too much of it. You didn't give him anything, did you?
I'm afraid I did.
Oh, dear. Do you play golf?
No.
Pity. I'm having a round with a couple of the regulars on Saturday. Nothing like a few drinks in the clubhouse to consolidate comradeship.
Saturday came and Apthorpe left, golf clubs swinging over the shoulder of a tweed coat much patched and bound with leather. It was holiday enough for Guy to read the papers in front of the fire in his room. He was thus employed when Apthorpe returned, glassy-eyed and tight.
Good chaps, those. You should come along next time. Oops, it is.
Why don't you sit down?
Good idea.
Have you had dinner?
No, and I don't intend to. It's a sound rule of health not to have dinner.
Never?
Well, of course not never. Sometimes. It gives the juices a rest. You have to be your own doctor in the bush. First rule of health, keep your feet dry. Second rule, rest the juices. Know what the third is?
No.
Nor do I. Just stick to the two rules and you'll be all right. You don't look well, Crouchback. I've been worrying about you.
Did you have a good game?
Terrible. High wind, poor visibility. Played 9 holes and knocked off. Turns out Sanders has a brother in Kasanga.
Oh. Is that anywhere near Makarikari?
Just about 1,200 miles. For a chap who's knocked about as much as you have, you don't know much, do you? 1,200 bloody miles, and you call that near? Not that it really matters.
I suppose it matters if you live in Makarikari.
But why go to Makarikari if you're in Kasanga? Well, I'll tell you why. Because Kasanga's a perfectly awful hole, that's why. If you like the place, stay there. Just don't ask me to join you. I don't know what you see in the place.
Why don't you go to bed?
I need a woman.
You won't find one in the barracks.
Just for company. I can do without the other thing. Not that I haven't done myself all right in that department and will do again. I hope. But I can take it or leave it. You have to in the bush or it gets a grip on a man. Fortunately, I'm above sex. But I can't do without company.
I can.
You want me to go?
No.
All right, old man. No. I'm not as thick-skinned as you think. I know when I'm not wanted. I'm sorry I inflicted myself on you for so long. I was wearing rubber soles today. I regret it now. Spoiled my drive. No grip. Ugh. I've enjoyed this talk tremendously. But at the moment, I'm rather sleepy. So if you don't mind, I think I'll turn in.
Apthorpe? Apthorpe, this is my room.
Oh, well.
What's that? Oh, where am I?
You're in my room, Apthorpe.
Oh, sorry, Crouchback. I must have been looking for the latrines and took a wrong turn. Good night.
Night.
Enter. Oh, it's you, Crouchback.
Are you unwell?
A touch of Bechuana tummy. I get it from time to time.
Oh.
The hell of it is. We're supposed to have lunch with the Colonel.
You could send a note.
We call it making a signal in the service, old man.
Right.
Oh, I don't feel good. It was bloody cold and wet on the links, and I'm liable to this damn Bechuana tummy if I get a chill. Oh, be a good chap and pass me that bottle.
Right. What is it?
Oh, filthy stuff. But it helps. Down the hatch. Oh. Pass me that pen and paper, will you?
Right.
Now, how to begin? Sir, I have the honour.
Less formal.
Dear Colonel Green.
Or dear Mrs. Green.
Oh, that's the ticket. Yeah. That's exactly the right note. Oh, good for you, old man. Yes. Dear Mrs. Green, please accept.
After church, Guy strolled to the Captain Commandant's house, where everyone except Apthorpe was gathering for lunch. Trimmer was already there, along with an athletic young man named Leonard, who'd brought his pregnant wife, Daisy.
I'm hungry too. What time's lunch, Jim?
The Captain Commandant's not here yet.
I've got to eat a horse between two bread vans. And why can't we call the Captain Commandant Colonel? Like every other regiment.
Because, Trimmer, the halberdiers aren't like every other regiment. But I thought you'd got that by now.
You love all this, don't you, Leonard?
I respect it.
What's this?
Oh, hello, Uncle. Just Trimmer complaining again.
It is no catch being an officer. I hear we've got to pay for a map case and a copy of the King's regs.
With his long-lashed, close-set eyes and a knowing look, Trimmer was the only member of the batch whom Guy definitely disliked. He was no fool, but his talents were not soldierly.
Aren't you going to introduce me, Jim?
This is my better half, Daisy.
Oh, Guy Crouchback, how do you do?
Why do they call you Uncle?
Because I'm so ancient.
You don't look ancient to me.
Oh. Another thing, they're always making you buy something you don't want. 3 bob on my mess bill yesterday marked entertainment. My share of the drinks for the Enter party. I didn't even go to the damn show.
You wouldn't want them to come to the Corps and not have any hospitality, would you?
I'd survive.
What time's this shindig supposed to kick off?
Daisy.
I'm eating for two.
Hey, where's Uncle Apthorpe?
Well, I heard he had rather a load on last night.
He had a touch of Bechuana tummy this morning.
Oh, that's a new name for him.
I wonder what he'd call my tummy.
Keep it clean, Daisy, for heaven's sake.
There's no shame being in the family way.
Glad you're coming to lunch, Uncle. She's in a wicked mood today.
Well, it's the weekend, for goodness sake. Jim's here playing soldiers all week. I never see him. Any decent job would give you Sunday off.
The Captain Commandant seems awfully nice.
So's my Aunt Margie. But I don't expect the Captain Commandant to spend his day off with her.
Don't mind Daisy.
I don't, old man. She's quite right.
I am here.
Don't we know it?
The halberdiers think far too much of themselves. My brother's in the RAF on the catering side, and he says it's just like any ordinary job, only easier.
I wonder what the Captain Commandant charges for lunch.
Keep it down, Trimmer.
I wish Jim had joined the RAF. Mm. You know where you are with them? Of course, I wouldn't let him fly, but there's plenty of jobs like my brother's.
Yeah, but after the war, Air Force pen pusher won't sound so odd. It'll do you more good in business to have been in the halberdiers and RAF ground staff.
Gentlemen.
Who on God's earth is that?
I have a feeling that is God.
Oh, Lord, is that him?
One eye, one hand. He fits the descriptions.
Richie Hook.
The one who cuts off people's heads.
Brigadier Ben Richie Hook was the great halberdier enfant terrible of the First War. Often wounded, often decorated, recommended for the Victoria Cross, twice court-martialed for disobedience in the field, and twice acquitted in recognition of the brilliant success of his independent actions. Lesser men collected helmets. Richie Hook once came back from a raid across no man's land with the dripping head of a German sentry in either hand. There he stood, centre stage, glaring at them balefully with a single terrible eye.
Now, let me get this clear. Leonard, Trimmer, and a Crouchback.
Sir.
Yeah. And which owns the madam?
I own this one.
Splendid!
Mrs. Leonard.
Jolly good. Gin for the lady.
Two surviving fingers and half a thumb in a black glove clutched a glass and presented it to Mrs. Leonard.
Won't you join me?
No. It's very nice if you don't have to keep awake after lunch.
I don't. Sunday's my day of rest.
Well, there are no Sundays in the firing line. This weekend habit could lose us the war. Any camping experience amongst you?
A little, sir. I lived in Kenya at one time and did several trips in the bush.
Good for you. Gin for the old settler. Oh. Did you get much shooting?
I bagged an old lion once who wandered into the farm.
Which are you again?
Crouchback, sir.
Yet I heard one of my young officers came from Africa. I thought it was another name.
Oh,
yeah,
no,
there's one wretched fellow on my list. Spent half his life in Italy. I didn't care for the sound of that much.
Imagine that, Crouchback.
Yeah, I've had fun in Africa. After one of my periodic disagreements with the powers that be, I got seconded to the African Rifles. Good fellows if you keep at them with a stick, but devilish scared of rhinos. One camp was by a lake, and an old rhino came down for a drink every evening, bold as brass, right across the parade ground. I wanted to shoot him, but the CO talked a lot of rot about a game license. A sort of chap who owns a dozen shirts. Oh. The next day I fixed up a flare path across a rhino's drinking place. Whoosh, bang, never saw an animal move so fast. Caught a black fellow, bang through the middle. Should have heard the yelling. Well, they couldn't stop me shooting the rhino then. Not with a sergeant stuck on his nose.
Where was this, sir?
Somaliland, Ogaden border.
I didn't know there was any rhino in Somaliland.
Well, there's one fewer now. Luncheon. Well, you'll all be glad to hear the War House have recognised our special role as HOO.
HOO?
Hazardous Offensive Operations. We've been given our own machine guns and heavy mortars, and we're directly accountable to the chiefs of staff. Now, there was some opposition from an idiot in military training, but I soon scotched him. Yeah, we've got a whiz of an area in the Highlands for training.
Scotland? Is that where we'll be in the summer?
Daisy.
I've got my arrangements to make.
Summer arrangements will depend on our friend the Bosch, madam. By summer, I hope to report the brigade efficient. Then, immediate action. Nobody hanging about. There's a limit to the amount of training men can take. Use them when they're on their toes. Use them, spend them, then throw them into battle. So it's no good asking where or when we shall settle. Now, do all you gentlemen play footer?
I play rugger, sir.
No pity. Men don't understand rugger. Except the Welshmen. No, we don't get many of those in the halberdiers. Soccer's the game. The great thing to play with the men. They go for you, you go for them, and no hard feelings when bones get broken. At one time, my company had more casualties from soccer than from the enemy. Permanent injuries, some of them. Yeah, it was a plucky little fellow played right half for C Company. Lame for life. Neither of you play?
No,
sir.
I remember a sergeant of mine got his leg blown off.
Nothing to be done for the poor fellow. It had taken half his body with it. Now, there was a padre on one side trying to make him pray, and me on the other side. And all he talked about was football. Luckily, I knew the latest league results. And those I didn't, I made up. I told him his team were doing fine, and he died smiling. If ever I see a padre getting above himself, I pull his leg about.
Unfortunate choice of words. No.
Of course, it's different with the Catholics. Their priests hold on to them to the last. It's a horrible sight, seeing them whispering at a dying man. They kill hundreds with fright.
Crouchback's a Catholic, sir.
Oh, dear, am I talking out of turn, as usual?
Not at all, sir.
Ah, but you live in Africa.
Well...
You get a very different type of missionary out there. They don't stand any nonsense from the natives. Me, very Christian boy, got soul, same as White Boss. Take it from me, Crouchback. You've only seen the best. Now... If you lived in Italy, like this other young officer of mine, you'd see them as they are at home, or in Ireland.
Yes.
I mean, the priests there were quite openly on the side of the gunmen.
But I don't understand. How could he think you were me?
He'd heard one of us lived in Italy and the other in Africa. He thinks I'm the African one.
I say, old man, I don't much like that.
He began it, and then it had gone too far to put him right.
But he must be put right. Oh, my gut.
Oh, you're still bad?
Never mind that. I think you ought to write and tell him.
Don't be an ass, Apthorpe.
Well, it's not a joking matter. It seems to me you've pulled a fast one. We're taking advantage of another chap's illness to impersonate him. It's just the sort of thing that might make a lot of difference. Did you take my name, too?
No, of course not.
Well, if you won't write, I will.
I shouldn't, you know. He'd think you were mad.
Well, I'll have to consider what's best. The whole thing's extremely delicate. I can't think how you let it happen.
Shortly before the Halberdiers had their Christmas leave, the regiment held a guest night, largely in honour of the new badge. Each man felt on his mettle to provide someone creditable to himself.
Great bit of luck. I've managed to get hold of Chatty Corner.
Oh. Who's Chatty Corner?
Well, I'd have thought you'd have heard of him. But perhaps it's different in your posh ranches of Kenya. If you asked about Chatty in real Africa, anywhere between Chad and Mozambique, people would think you were chaffing. Oh, he's a great character. Queer sort of devil to look at. You wouldn't think he knew how to use a knife and fork. But actually, he's a bishop's son. Eton, Oxford, and all that.
Oh.
Who are you bringing?
I haven't found anyone yet.
Funny. I'd have thought a chap like you would have known quite a number of people.
Apthorpe was still huffy about the affair of mistaken identity. In the end, Guy invited his nephew, Tony.
Thanks for coming.
I wouldn't miss seeing you masquerading as a young officer for anything in the world, Uncle Guy.
By the way, I know it's more relaxed in your regiment, but when a halberdier salutes, we return the salute as smartly as it's given.
Uncle Guy, do I have to remind you that I am your superior officer?
No, I'm merely trying to spare you a slip of protocol.
Good Lord. What on earth's that?
Oh, that, I believe, must be Apthorpe's friend, Chatty Corner. Apparently he's an expert in the behaviour of gorillas.
Looks like he spent too much time with them and gone native.
After a fine dinner and much wine, the mess president proposed a toast.
Our Colonel-in-Chief, the Grand Duchess Elena of Russia.
This ancient lady lived in a bed-sitting room in Nice. But as a young beauty... had graciously accepted the rank.
The Grand Duchess! God bless her!
Cigars were lit, the horn of snuff was brought round, then, in true military tradition, the evening degenerated. Major Tickeridge gave his innocently obscene performance of The One-Armed Flautist, after which there was an impromptu football match, which became a game of rugger, with a waste paper basket in place of a ball.
It's okay. It's nothing. Oh, my knee.
Perhaps you ought to see a doctor.
No, it's just a twist. It'll be all right in the morning.
But it wasn't all right, and in the morning, Guy's knee had swollen so that he couldn't walk on it without the aid of a stick. This became the source of more ragging from the younger men, like Apthorpe's Betuana tummy, which again flared up and laid him low after the guest night. With his stiff knee and stick, Guy had become a lame old buffer.
Good leave, Apthorpe.
Far from it. Strictly speaking, I oughtn't to be back, but I've been past fit for light duties.
A touch of the old Betuana tummy again.
It's no joking matter, old man.
No, I didn't mean...
As you ask, just before Christmas, I was staying with my aunt at Tunbridge Wells when I met with a rather nasty accident in the bathroom.
Oh. Mm.
Without a stitch on.
What happened?
Are you smiling? You seem to find the idea funny.
No, not at all. Tell me what happened.
There wasn't a great deal to do, and I didn't want to get out of condition, so I decided to run through some of the PT tables, and then I slipped and came the most awful cropper. Hurt like the devil.
Whereabouts?
I told you, Tunbridge Wells.
The injury.
Oh, my knee. It was literally agony. I thought I'd broken it. I had quite a business finding an MO who took it very seriously and packed me off to hospital. I don't suppose you've ever been to a military hospital, have you, Crouchback?
No, not yet.
It's well worthwhile. I was there over Christmas. The VAD sang carols.
Does this mean you're lame?
Well, a thing like this doesn't clear up in a day, even with the best treatment.
But I'm lame too.
Very sorry to hear it.
But this is awful.
It's inconvenient, I'll grant you.
Well, don't you realise what fools we're going to look? The two uncles, both lame like a pair of decrepit twins.
Oh, I think that's a bit far-fetched, old man. Shall we take a seat?
No.
Anyway, I've installed myself in a spare room on my own.
Have you?
I've got rather a lot of gear, you see, and I had to have somewhere to stash my Bush Thunderbox.
Right.
Ooh, there we are.
The stick! Are you trying to get yourself killed?
Me, Sergeant Major?
Yes, sir, you, sir! Can't you see the red flag?
Oh, sorry, Sergeant Major, I can't
get
see...
Get out for crying out loud! Oh. Wait for it to be lowered!
Right.
Oh. All right, you can get up!
Right.
That is how fatal accidents happen. The flag, and only the flag, is the signal to go by. Attention, everyone. You've just seen a typical example of bad range discipline. Remember it.
Lucky escape, Uncle.
They weren't even firing.
You don't want to take chances, old man, especially now you're incapacitated.
I'm fine, thank you.
Enough nattering, gentlemen. This is not a mother's meeting. Captain Crouchback.
Sir.
Down you get, if you can. Let's see what kind of marksman you are.
As Guy lay and sighted his rifle, he made the disconcerting discovery that the target entirely disappeared when he covered it. With two eyes, there was a discernible white square. With one eye closed, the square dimmed and flickered.
Five rounds when you're ready.
He loaded and quickly fired.
Oh dear, dear, dear.
Guy had had a beastly day. The weather was filthy, his knee throbbed, and to cap it all, his eyesight was now questionable. He wanted a warming drink and affable company. He got D'Souza.
Whiskey?
I've got one, thanks, Frank.
Rough day.
You could say that.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Don't you think that song sounds a little out of date now?
It makes me think of a drawing from the last war. You know the one. Barbed wire and a corpse hanging across it like a scarecrow. I forget who did it. Sort of Sham Goya.
I don't even think the men really like it.
I don't think the men know much about art.
I meant the song.
Oh. They hear them at Enza concerts and pick them up.
I suppose some good songs will come out of this war like they did last time.
I doubt it. There's probably a Ministry of Martial Music inside the Ministry of Information.
Oh, you think?
The old songs were lacking in morale-building qualities. We're here because we're here. Take me back to dear old Blighty. Nobody knows how bored we are and nobody seems to care. Not the kind of thing that'll get official approval today.
True.
This war began in darkness and will end in silence.
Do you say these things simply to depress me, Frank?
No, Uncle. To cheer myself up.
Returning to his billet, Guy was accosted by Major Tickeridge, whose day on the firing range had been as beastly as Guy's.
Ah, Crouchback.
Major Tickeridge.
Not one of your better days.
No, sir.
You put on a very poor show today, very poor. What on earth went wrong?
I don't know, sir. The visibility was pretty bad.
It was the same for everyone.
Yes.
You'll have to work hard at your elementary aiming.
Aye, aye. Did I hear the Major giving you a rocket?
What do you want, Trimmer?
Quite a change for our blue-eyed boy. I reckon that lion you shot in Africa must have been unlucky, Uncle.
Go to hell.
Little crusty this evening, aren't we?
You bloody half-baked pipsqueak. One more piece of impudence out of you and I'll hit you.
Oi, oi! Mind the walking stick, Uncle.
God rot your revolting little soul.
No offence, men. Steady on.
I've had just about enough.
Right, right.
Some people can't take the joke.
January was intensely cold, and in the first week an exodus began from the barracks. The Grand Hotel was almost empty, allowing Guy to engage good rooms very cheaply.
Have you heard?
What?
The Brigadier's come.
Richie Hook?
He was here last night. I came into the hall, and there he was, covered in red, glaring at the notice board. Something tells me he's up to no good. And high time too, if you ask me. There are quite a number of things need putting in order. Starting with the staff.
The firing of a live round during training exercises was attended with all the solemnity of a salute at a funeral. Except when Brigadier Richie Hook was about. The sound of flying bullets exhilarated him to the heights of levity.
Right, gentlemen. From my observation, there's been too much class work and not enough action. I'd like to hear less theorizing about the enemy and see more about biffing him. Remember that, gentlemen? All fire plans are just biffing. Good. Let's get on with it.
He went to the butts to organize snap shooting as markers raised figure targets at unpredictable points, drawing bursts of Bren fire.
Fire at will!
But the Brigadier soon tired of this.
No, it's too easy. It's too damned easy.
He put his hat on his stick and ran up and down the trench, raising, lowering, waving it.
Shoot me! Come on! Come on, you useless bunchers! You're hopeless! Fire! You useless bunch! Come on! Shoot me, you blighters! Shoot me, you mistaken! Hopeless! Hopeless!
He did this for some time until he was exhausted, though unwounded. Oh.
Right. I'll see you all at luncheon. Gentlemen, you may not smoke, but you need not sit at attention.
Not sprouts again.
It's not yet the time to eat, Mr. Trimmer.
Excuse I?
Gentlemen, it seems to me that you could all do with a week's leave. In fact, some of you needn't bother coming back at all. They'll be notified later through what are laughingly called the correct channels. I can only say that I am sorry that I have not been to visit you before. I came here last night on a friendly visit, expecting to find you all happily settled in. I arrived at 7 o'clock. There was not one officer in the camp. Of course, there is no military rule that you must dine in on any particular night. Assuming you were all out on some celebration, I asked the civilian caterer. He was unaware of such a celebration, nor did he know the name of a single member of the mess committee. This does not strike me as being what the blue jobs call a happy ship. I looked at your work this morning. It was pretty moderate. And in case any young officer doesn't know what moderate means, it means damned awful. This is entirely your fault. No military offence that I know of has been committed, but an officer's worth does not consist of avoiding military offences. What's more, gentlemen, you aren't officers. There are advantages in your present equivocal position, advantages for you and for me. None of you hold His Majesty's commission. You are on probation. I can send the lot of you packing tomorrow without any given explanation. Halberdiers have been specially privileged to collect and train our new officers by direct entry. We were given this single opportunity to train one batch of young officers because the War Office have faith in the traditions of the Corps and they know we wouldn't take a dud. You are the last men to be accepted and trained in the old way, and I'd sooner report total failure than let in one man I can't trust. Don't think you've done something clever in getting an easy commission by the back stairs, because if you don't pull yourself together, you'll go down those stairs, arse over tit, with my foot behind you. This course has been a failure. We'll start again, fresh, this time next week. And I shall be in charge. Enjoy your lunch, gentlemen.
Rather strong-worded, I thought.
You said things needed putting in order.
Well, yes, but he might have made it clearer that there were certain exceptions.
You don't think he meant you when he said some of us need not come back, do you, Apthorpe?
Hardly, old man.
Well, I don't care what he says. If anyone wants me, I'll be in town.
It'd be a pity if our service ends before it's begun.
Don't worry, old man. We'll be all right. Unlike Mr. Trimmer, we're the stuff the halberdiers are made of.
I hope you're right.
I am, old boy, I am. Trust Uncle Apthorpe.
Well, if you'll excuse me, I think I'll dine in town.
But you're not going with Trimmer.
No, but there's a reasonable menu at the Garibaldi. Care to join me?
I think in the circumstances, I'll dine with the chaps.
Each in their way had been taken unawares and inspired by regimental pride. Guy went alone to the Garibaldi. It was Ash Wednesday, so he declined to eat meat. Besides, that evening, he had gorged like a lion on Richie Hook's kill.
In Sword of Honour, Episode 1, Men at Arms, Guy was played by Paul Reddy, Apthorpe by Adrian Scarborough, and Brigadier Richie Hook by Tim Pigott-Smith. Arthur Box Bender was Robert Dawes, Angela, Priyanga Burford, Tony, Harry Jardine, Mr. Crouchback, Sean Murray, Ian Kilbannock, Oliver Chris, Major Tickeridge, Michael Burtonshaw, Trimmer, Lee Ingleby, Leonard, Arthur Hughes, Daisy, Georgie Fuller, D'Souza, Joel McCormack, Sergeant Major, Ben Crow, Mrs. Tickeridge, Joanna Brooks, and the aide, John Norton. The narrator was Tim McInerney. Sword of Honour is dramatised by Jeremy Front and directed by Sally Avens.
I have my family, like, you're my family. You're my dad.
A collection of conversations.
One of the things, Karen, that you have shown me, and I am so grateful for, is hugs.
Recorded across Britain.
It's the sign of a civilised bar if they've got a jar of pickled eggs behind them.
Well, it is, yeah.
The return of The Listening Project on BBC Radio 4.
It doesn't civilise the car afterwards very much, you know, but,
turbulence.
Next Sunday afternoon at 2:45.